The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. God, on this day of resurrection, we thank you for the promise of new life in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that out of your love we may begin again, may begin anew, may know deep in our hearts that no matter what this world does to us, that your love is stronger. Be with us as we open our hearts and our minds to your word and draw us closer to you each day of this Easter season. Amen. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is how our Easter gospel ends this morning. It's actually how Mark's whole gospel ended in its original form. Until someone came along a little later and thought he couldn't possibly have meant to end it that way, and added in the rest of the resurrection story as it's portrayed in Matthew, Luke, and John's Gospels. Mary Magdalene tells the disciples, they come to the empty tomb, the resurrected Jesus makes appearances to the disciples. They eventually go out and share the good news with all the world. We know that all of that happens because, well, we're here. Thousands of years later, celebrating Easter as followers of Jesus, proclaiming the joy of the resurrection together. But as Mark wrote the gospel originally, it ends with the women fleeing from the tomb, seized by terror and amazement, afraid and silent. I love that Mark notes that they were seized with both terror and amazement, that these two things can happen simultaneously and so often do in the complicated layers of real life. This rings particularly true to me after this last year we've had. The terror of COVID-19 has endured far longer than we could have imagined at this time last year. We've lost loved ones. Our kids have gone to school on screens. The doors of the church have had to close. We've not seen family or friends. Going to the grocery store seemed scary. There's been economic uncertainty accompanying the pandemic as jobs have vanished or had to be quit
to manage online learning. There's been racial terror and violence, the protests demanding change and justice, a chaotic election season and transition of leadership, and some natural disasters mixed in too, earthquakes, fires, and floods. It's been quite a year. We know that there has been resurrection in the midst of despair this last year. We have seen the ways people have cared for one another through the pandemic, the energy that has gone toward racial justice, the amazing work that went into the creation of vaccines, and the glimmers of hope as their distribution began. And yet, the grief, the trauma, the anger, the unfairness, it's all still there. It doesn't just vanish as things start to get better. We're still carrying that with us, even as we move toward something new. Which is why, as writer Debbie Thomas suggests, what we need this Easter is Mark's version of the story. Maybe we need time, as the women in Mark's account needed time to sit with the terror and amazement that must fall upon us when God's incomprehensible work of redemption collides in real time with the broken bewilderment of our lives. As we continue to move ahead from this place in which we find ourselves as a church, but also in the wider world, the temptation will be to get back to normal as quickly as possible, to move on, to move forward, to make things even bigger and better and shinier than they were before. It's what our culture would like to see us do. But the witness of the women that first Easter morning shows us that there is another way. Debbie Thomas speaks to this as she continues, "So often I wish that we, the church, could be so patient, so nuanced, so attuned to the spiritual and psychological realities when we speak and share our good news. Wouldn't our witness be so much more credible if we didn't feel the need to rush to resurrection, to slap smiles and bows on the wounds of the world? Sometimes, when human beings are in profound pain, good news hurts. We find it too jarring, too dissonant, too grating. We can't map it, we can't bridge it, we can't wrap language around it. We literally can't take it into our bodies. Something tender and essential within us resists. At such moments, maybe the most faithful response to the seeming disconnect between Christ's resurrection and our continuing pain is reverent silence. The women at the tomb waited before they spoke. They led with wounded awe, not premature consolation. Wounded awe, not premature consolation. It's the most honest response to the resurrection I've ever heard. Sometimes we're just not there yet. And I thank God for Mark's gospel that reminds us that that's okay. It may take some time. But we remember this Easter day that even if we are not prepared to grasp it, ready or not, Easter comes. Resurrection is happening. And that is very good news. It doesn't actually rely on our ability to grasp it. God is always out ahead of us. And that is precisely where the angel tells the women that Jesus is. They can find him in Galilee. In Mark's gospel, he's not there waiting for them to grasp it. He's up and out and off to Galilee, bearing in his very body the good news of new life, of love stronger than death, of chances to begin again. And we know that they do go. They tell the disciples that they've seen the empty tomb, the abandoned grave clothes. They tell them that the resurrection has happened and that there is new life, and they are to follow Jesus and find him there in Galilee. What I love about the fact that they're told to find Jesus in Galilee is that Galilee is where it all began and where it will begin anew. But more than a symbol, it is also an invitation to the places in which Jesus did so much of his ministry of healing in the towns and villages. They're not told to go to Jerusalem to tell the powerful, but to follow Jesus to be among the poor, the powerless, the sick, those in need of healing, and they will find him there. This is where they will first see the resurrected Christ. Go, tell. This is the commission given to the women, the first apostles sent to share the good news. They are to tell the disciples and then go together to follow Jesus into Galilee, where they, the disciples who abandoned Jesus at the cross, the women who stayed but who needed a minute with the news before they could share it, they, the broken, beloved disciples, are sent to proclaim the good news in Galilee among their fellow broken, beloved people. Not among the mighty, but the poor, the hungry, the sick, the outcast, the people to whom Jesus went first upon his resurrection. And this commission that is given to the women is for us too. That following Jesus is not about seeking out power and success, but following him to those places where people are hurting, lost, alone, and afraid, and sharing the good news there. We are sent not as heroes who have all the answers, but because we have been hurting, lost, alone, and afraid too. We're not sent because of all that we have to offer, but in our weakness and vulnerability to walk alongside our fellow humans and to share the good news we have seen. That the stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty, the grave clothes left behind, that he is risen, that new life, that hope, that joy is possible. In an essay in this morning's New York Times, writer Esau Macaulay wrote that as we leave the tombs of quarantine, a return to normal would be a disaster. Unless we recognize that we are going back to a world desperately in need of healing. For me, the source of that healing is an empty tomb in Jerusalem. The work that Jesus left his followers to do includes showing compassion and forgiveness and contending for a just society. It involves the ever-present offer to begin again. Christians, at their best, he continues, are the fools who dare to believe in God's power to call dead things to life. So take a minute. You don't need to skip over the hurt or the anger or the bewilderment of this last year. Give yourself a minute to feel all that you need to feel. And even in that space, know that you are a witness to resurrection that was taking place before you even knew it, that new life was blooming before you could yet perceive it, and that you know that it's true. Feel the complexity of that space and know that it only makes you more equipped for the journey that lies ahead. Because Jesus is out there among others who have known brokenness and pain just like you. And together, We can work to bring about healing and wholeness and new life and flourishing, to make known to a world that is suffering that life and hope are just as real. And together, we can proclaim, Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.